Well, I guess we'll get started here. This is the fifth and probably the last in this series of lessons concerning the history of the journey of God's people. In our last, we looked with a view to living in a society with the influence of its leaders and the effect upon the people's lives. So we looked at the kings and we've looked at the prophets and the different leaders of society, political leaders, and how they affect our lives. It's all part of the journey we go through. So as we travel through life as Christians, things we do make up our journey. Everything we do actually is part of our journey. I realized very early in the beginning of my journey that I must give up my life in order to save my life. That's what Jesus said. I understood this to mean that things I needed to give up and repent of, there were things I had to give up and repent of. And that, as you've heard me say before, I'd heard the sound of a different drummer, knowing that I could not keep hanging out with the people that were living a life that I was trying to walk away from. As 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, that bad company corrupts good morals. Well, I knew that instinctively, that I could not, as much as I love these people, and I did. I mean, we were brothers and we were sisters. But I knew instinctively I could not keep hanging out with them and living the life that Jesus was calling me to. So this is why the scriptures refer to those who become Christians as pilgrims. Your translation may say aliens, strangers, 1 Peter 2:11. So this world is not our home anymore, just as we sing the song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm on a journey now. You look in Hebrews chapter 11, I'll read verse 13 through 16, says, all these faithful that went before us on their journey, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles or pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But, as it is written, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So, pilgrims leave their familiar settings, and in some cases, they leave the land that they lived in, like Abraham did. They leave safety. They leave social status and people that they love. All these things we experience as we become pilgrims and walk away from our old life. Sometimes it becomes necessary as a pilgrim to break away from the status quo in our discovery of truth. In our last lesson, we talked about separation between, if you remember, Judah and the 10 tribes. As Israel broke from the Davidic covenant, then God rejected them. And so did Judah, because they had walked away from the covenant of God, the David covenant. So I find it interesting that the political and religious leadership of the Jewish nation has done the same thing in rejecting Jesus. Think about it. They did the same thing the 10 tribes did. They rejected the 10 tribes because they walked away from the Davidic covenant, made their own kings, left the temple. The Jews, by rejecting Jesus today, have done the same thing. They rejected the covenant line of blue bloods from David, from which Jesus comes. They've done the very same thing. So, They then, like the ten tribes, have ultimately rejected God's covenant. However, what we see in the book of Acts is thousands of people, thousands from the Jewish nation, broke from the status quo and became pilgrims on their journey as Christians. So even though the nation rejected Jesus, many thousands of people of that nation did not. And so they walked away from the status quo and faced the persecution that awaited them for it. Fast forward several thousand years later, things are as they've always been. Pilgrims' progress on their journey are impeded by political leaders throughout the world, by religious traditions of men. We see it all around us. We feel it. Many people are put to death in other countries for it, by political leaders and religious zealots for their own traditions hinder the pilgrims on their journey. Having somewhat digressed then from the individual journey of pilgrims, I regress. It was my intention to bring forth examples and testimonies of pilgrims on their journey. Not only good examples, but those also of misguided pilgrims who lost their way. We have both in the scriptures. We have many examples, good examples, of pilgrims on their journey. But we also have many lessons of misguided pilgrims who started off on the journey but lost their way. And these are as warnings for us. However, after having looked at 30 examples, I looked at 30 examples of individual pilgrims, and I was going to bring out lessons with each of them, some good, some bad. But then I realized when I was fixing to put this all together for you that it would take not one, but at once a month speaking, it would take me many, many months to examine these 30 examples that I was looking at. And this by far was not all. This was just a sampling of individual pilgrims on their journey. So in view of this, I decided to bring this to your attention so that you yourselves could go on the treasure hunt, or if you will, go and seek, like little children that go on an Easter egg hunt looking for the eggs. And it's with great excitement. Every time they find a new egg, it's with great excitement. And so it is with us as we go and seek out these treasures, these truths, these pilgrims on their journey. It should be with us great excitement every time we learn something new, even if it's from bad examples for us to learn from. There are so many to be found. Every story in the Bible has a purpose for being there. Think about that. Every story in the Bible has a purpose for being there, or it wouldn't be there. As we read the scriptures, we want to consider and ask ourselves, why is this in here? Why is this in here, this particular place I'm reading? What am I to learn from it? Why did what I'm reading make the cut? Why did it make the cut and get in here? To be put in the sacred book. Just in John 21:25, it says about Jesus that the whole world wouldn't be able to contain the books that could be written about his life on the earth for 33 years. The whole world could not even contain it. So you realize that had to be a lot of cutting done. Is this going to make the sacred pages or not? So much more could be here, you know, but it's just impossible. Impossible for us to take it all in. But God, in his wisdom, has given us everything that we need. Everything that is written for our understanding, as Romans 15:4 says. As well, Ephesians 3:4 says, when you read, you may understand. So God has put everything in here that's in here for us to understand something. Something in everything we read is for our learning. Wow. So as I am reading, I must ask myself, why is this written? Why did it make the cut? What is the lesson that God wants me to learn right here? Or over here? Or over here? Wherever I'm reading in here, it's in here for a reason. For me to learn from. To help me in my pilgrimage journey. So much good here for me to learn. So much necessary for me to learn. So, a few of the lessons learned, I'll give you just a few, but a few of the lessons summarized, if you will, in the 30 stories looked at, one being obedience in small details often opens the way for God's blessings. Sometimes you think, nah, it's a small detail. It don't really matter. No, it does matter. All the small details might decide whether or not you got a blessing. Another is courageous hospitality and justice can affect your own circumstances. Think about the widow woman who gave her last meal to Elijah, and then her jar was never empty again. Courageous hospitality. Do I give my last meal? Do I trust God for this? So courageous hospitality and justice can affect your own circumstances. Leaving one's comfort zone often leads to deeper encounters with God. Think about that. Probably not going to have much of an encounter with God in a comfort zone. It's in the uncomfortable zones. It's in the unfamiliar. It's in the dangerous. It's been away from home, been in a foreign land. This is more than likely where you will find a deeper encounter with God. A deeper trust and faith. And so we see these things in the scriptures. Faith in small acts can shift history. Small acts can shift history. You know, I'm thinking about one example is Ruth, who winds up because her faithfulness to Naomi, who had become a widow woman, because of her faithfulness to her, she winds up marrying Boaz and becomes the grandmother of Jesus. Something like that. So, it was faith in small acts and kindness. And look where her place wound up in history. Did she know that when she was doing it? Had no idea, I guarantee you. Had no idea. She was just doing what was in her heart. Wisdom and courage can diffuse violence and reflect God's heart. Do we see any stories of wisdom and courage? What are we to learn from it? Look at the details. How does it apply to me? What can I learn from this? Where might I have an opportunity to display wisdom and courage and reflect the heart of God? Stories that inspire vigilance and bold trust as you follow God's path. There's so many lessons, so many things that we can learn from the stories that made the cut. A few lessons about misguided pilgrims. Half-hearted faith, abuse of sacred trust, false reporting in speech. All these examples we see in the scriptures, and as I said, I wouldn't have time to go into and to share them with you, but what I'm trying to get you to see is they're in here. Go on the Easter egg hunt and find the treasure. It's very exciting. It's very sobering. Very fearful. Very hopeful. These treasures are in here. So, half-hearted faith underscores how quickly a pilgrim community can derail itself when individuals stray from obedience. An individual can have a terrible effect on the whole community if they stray. Neglecting reverence or integrity shows how quickly a pilgrim can stray. Just this one thing, I just strayed in this one thing. Terrible. There's what we call maybe gray stories. I ponder on this a lot. Like the prophet in 1 Kings 13. It reminds us that discernment and obedience, not just good intent, guard our journey. I mean, if you recall, here's a prophet that God had told him to, when he goes out on this mission, he gave him not to turn back and go back to the way he came and not to stop and eat in anyone's home. But guess what? Another prophet from God comes along and tells him that he wants him to come and have dinner with him. And prophet to prophet, man of God to man of God, come on home, have dinner with me. He says, I can't because God told me not to do that. Oh, well, listen. God told me to tell you. What? Yeah, God told me to tell you it's okay. Now, you can come and have dinner with me, prophet to prophet, right? Okay. Well, we all know the story. A lion met him on the road going home after that. He died. You know, that's, to me, I think about that quite often. Because the other guy was supposed to have been a good guy too. Prophet to prophet. God told me to tell you. Reminds me of Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man that puts his trust in men. Good intentions, but discernment and obedience, not just good intent, will guard our journey. Discernment and obedience will guard our journey. Even a misguided pilgrim who became part of God's people but turned aside seeking their own way or worldly pleasures. They're in here. Those stories are in here. Their stories warn pilgrims to hold fast to covenant faithfulness to God. Hold fast to covenant faithfulness. But you know, suppose you're a person that never reads their Bible. Or suppose you don't read your Bible very much. Suppose you're not even aware of all these 30 examples I could give you and more. Then you don't know the blessings, you don't know the warnings, right? But it is written, and it's up to us to have a desire to learn and hear. Because this is our Creator speaking to us. This is our Creator guiding us through all the danger, for guiding us home. These failed examples remind us that a single compromise, one compromise in your journey, can derail an entire journey, affecting not just the individual, but sometimes the wider community. One derailment. For the most part, these stories are about ordinary souls like us, whose trust, or lack of it, shape God's unfolding story in each of our lives. Ordinary souls. Now, we talked before about the leadership, about the kings and the prophets, etc. But today we're talking about us, the ordinary souls in the kingdom of God. Not necessarily leaders. We're just fellow pilgrims. And God's got a lot to say to us. So I'll close with this thought. There are far more examples I found by just randomly going through these. Wasn't particularly looking for anything or anybody, you know, special. I was just seeing what was brought out. So just, I found out there are more examples of men in leadership positions with their effect upon societies. There's more men in the Bible in leadership than women by far. But I also found this out. There are far more examples of women doing and bringing about good and their effect upon society more than men. Isn't that interesting? Men seem to have more of the responsibility of being leaders, but women bring out the good that affects society much more than men do. So we all have our parts. So ends our look at the pilgrim's journey of those God has called out of the world. I have only pointed you in the direction of the treasuries to be found. You must seek and spend the time to discover them for yourself in order to reap the benefit. Thank you.